God's Word from 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 11 and 12, where the Apostle writes, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of His calling, and that by His power He may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in Him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." May the Lord bless this reading of His holy word. It is Pastor Appreciation Month, all this month of October. I mentioned last time that I had told our chairperson of worship when we talked about the work of the spiritual support team and worship that this year we could just skip Pastor Appreciation Month. The chairperson did not decide to act according to my wishes. But the chairperson got some support from our Lord. The Lord let me know that there were themes that the Lord wanted me to preach on that was a part of Pastor Appreciation. So as usual, when the Lord corrects me, I agreed to participate. I told you about my call to become a pastor. I was praying and asking the Lord to tell me what He wanted me to do with my life. And the Lord showed me the image of a preacher in a pulpit. I was a little surprised, but decided I would continue to listen and keep my eyes open. Not much more happened, at least directly, until I went to college. The word call is a frequently used term today and a frequently used term in the Bible. We today even have added a technological definition of the word call. When we say, "I will call you," we don't mean we will call by means of shouting, but we will call using a phone, originally a telephone and now a cell phone. We've added another word for communication, Skype. Instead of a call, you might be Skyped. Or you might Skype someone. And if you're not sure what that is, ask a younger person. The word call appears 480 times in God's Word. In those 480 uses of the word call are several meanings of the word call. One of the definitions, and one definition I assume when I'm talking about my call to become a pastor, is the definition of the word call, meaning a divine vocation or strong inner prompting to a particular course of action. This definition uses the word vocation because that is the Latin root word for the word call in the word for vocation. Back in the day, a vocation was a calling. Last time I told you how I told my mother about my call. Then we talked about how we are all called. We looked at God's Word. Perhaps the most famous scripture, one of the better known scriptures from Romans chapter 8, says it this way. In verse 28, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." 2 Timothy says that the Lord saved us and called us to a holy life. Last Sunday scripture read from Timothy, "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession." I pointed out a distinction about our call, our salvation, and our call. Jesus saved us, but Jesus' call was to follow Jesus. Jesus didn't call us to get saved. 2 Timothy says the Lord saved us and called us. You've been saved through Christ. Now, what about your call? So what about your call? God's Word tells us several things you and I are called to because we have been saved. First of all, we are called to a purpose, and that purpose is the Lord's purpose for our lives. Again, that passage from Romans 8. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Hear that again. We know that in all things God works for the good. It doesn't say, and it doesn't mean that everything that happens is good. What it means is God's working good in everything. Doesn't mean it's all good. You know, if everything that went on was God's, is what God wanted, we'd be in heaven. But Jesus taught us to pray, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because God's will's not being done on earth. God works for the good. He's working it. He's working in it to bring good out of it for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So our call has a purpose. It gives us purpose, God's purposes. 1 Peter 3 says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. The Apostles' letter states that you will receive a blessing, but you were called for the purpose of being a blessing. I know a guy who sells honey in North Carolina. He's a follower of Jesus. All his jars of honey say, be blessed. Get it? Honeybees, the verb to be blessed. Clever, right? You don't have to like the slogan, but the guy gets it. We're supposed to bless others in Jesus' name. That we would be a blessing to the rest of humanity was the promise made to Abraham in chapter 12 of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. We are, as Jesus' people, the fulfillment of that promise. So our calling has a purpose, God's purposes. Our calling is to particular work or particular tasks. We have an example in the book of Acts in chapter 13. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now clearly Barnabas and Saul had been saved before that moment. They're already saved. Now came the time for their work to which the Lord called them. In another episode in the book of Acts, Paul is told exactly what he's called to do. In Acts chapter 16, after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. In this case, Paul was called not in just what to do, but where to do it as well. To go to Macedonia and preach the gospel. Pastors, at least I think some of us still do, still hold to this idea that we are called to serve and to preach in a particular place as a pastor or even as an evangelist. Here's a much more unpleasant example of a call. You may have been called to suffer. You may have been called to endure suffering, especially for doing good. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22 says, but if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. It's an unpleasant thought, is it not? We want to think that good is rewarded. Well, the Bible says it ain't. Not in this life. Good is not rewarded in this life. The Bible says you're disciples of your Lord Jesus, and Jesus suffered in this life. To this you were called, because Jesus left you an example. Jesus asked the question, is a servant above his master? If the master suffers, do you think the student will escape suffering? The answer is no. We cannot expect better response than Jesus received from the hands of evil men. And despite the fact that we might be called to suffer for the sake of the gospel, we are called to a status of peace. 1 Corinthians 7:15, God has called us to live in peace. Notice we're not just called to peace with our God in Christ, but we are to live in peace. And again, you will face opposition in the world. That's the way it is. But you can have peace in yourself and peace in the church. That is what we are called to. Here's another one of our calls that we Americans simply disregard as a part of our calling. And it's right there in God's Word. You and I were called by our Lord Jesus Christ to belong. We were called to fellowship with one another and Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 6. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To belong to Christ, as Paul tells it, is to belong to the body of Christ, the church. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, Jesus never called one disciple to go out on their own and serve him. Jesus never intended single disciple ministry. By design, Jesus sent out two apostles. He sent them out in pairs. And then when he sent out 70 disciples, he sent them also in pairs, two by two by two. Jesus never sent anyone alone to do his work. So we are called, not as individuals, but we are called to be together. We're also called to a lifestyle. 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. The apostle's letter says that this call is a matter of the one who is calling you. 1 Peter 1:15, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. And being holy is all about dedicating what you do to God. You do everything you say, everything you do is supposed to be for him. And just a few more. Our own affirmation of faith today says that we are called into our Lord's light. Live in Christ's light. You're called to the light. You can live in the light. There's darkness in the world, no doubt about it. You're called to live in the light. 1 Peter says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. It's a wonderful light to which you are called. Live in it. The Galatians letter says we're called to live in grace. This is especially important in the churches in Galatia, where Christians were trying to demonstrate to others that they were saved and introducing other Christians and instructing other Christians to do the same things they were doing as proof of their salvation. Paul said, no, don't do that. Live in grace. You can't do anything that makes you acceptable. You can't do anything that makes you worthy. Live in grace. And further on in the very same letter, Paul says, we're called to be free. Free from those things that others say we might have to do to demonstrate that we are saved. Live in grace. Do you have a calling? Well, apparently so. The Bible says you do have a calling. Sounds like you have a pretty good calling. Remember, you weren't called to be saved. You are saved. Saved in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. By his death and resurrection. His gift of his life for your sins. You are saved. And Jesus calls you to follow Jesus. Follow Jesus in the new life you have been given. You are living out God's purposes. You can be a blessing to others. You have a new lifestyle. It's a life in Christ, a life of fellowship, peace, grace, freedom, holiness. Even if we may be called to suffer, if it be so, let it be to our Lord's glory, giving him praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.